Blog Talk Radio. God bless you all on today. You're listening at Yes by Shekinah Glory. I don't know about you, but I have a yes down in my spirit today. Amen. And as that song was just playing, I begin to think on the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many have a yes down in their spirit today? In spite of what you're going through, in spite of what it looked like, in spite of what it seems like, you yet have to have a yes down in your spirit. Amen. Psalm 61, we're going to read in Psalm 63 and 1. I'm going to read that into your hearing on today. It says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My hallelujah, I love that scripture, because guess what? When you begin to seek God early, I don't mean rising up in the morning early, but when you begin to seek him early in your life, hallelujah, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. Amen. We have a product of that teaching with us today, a young man that's full of the Holy Ghost, a young man that mother raised him in the fear of the Lord. And I tell you, I begin to think about her even on this morning, thinking about the apostle that we have with us, how proud she would be of him today. But I tell you, you know, if our parents aren't proud, and if the children are doing things that cause embarrassment upon us, I have to continue to look to the hills. From whence cometh our help? All of our help, it comes from the Lord. And as long as God is pleased with you, hallelujah, as long as God has set a seal of approval on your life, you don't have to prove nothing to anybody. Hallelujah. When you know who you are and you know whose you are, you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to compete with anybody. But all you have to do is allow that yes to reverberate in your spirit, to allow that yes to the Lord to direct your path. Oh, you're the most fire. I wasn't feeling good in my body today. Hey, hallelujah, but I still haven't yet prayed. Hallelujah. How many know when you're going through? Hallelujah, in your physical body. It's not a good feeling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you got to, then when you look at all of the atrocities that surround you, and you look at your everyday life and you know the challenges that you have to face daily. Hallelujah. But I serve a God that is greater than anything I'm going through. I serve a God that's greater than any physical ailment that I'm experiencing in my body. Hallelujah. I thank him today. Hey, glory. And as I was thanking him today, hallelujah, I'm working with this young lady, and I tell you, she has just transformed my mind. Hallelujah. How many know when you look to the Lord for to renew your mind? And sometimes God just can send that special person to re-energize you. Hallelujah. To reactivate everything that was laying dormant in you. Oh, I serve a God today. Hallelujah. And I'm just so thankful. You know, I was a little sad when I'm happy to see all the 517 area codes calling in, but I said, well, wait a minute, what's going on? I served you all notice earlier this week about this young man that is going to minister to us today. And when I saw all of these 517 area codes, and I didn't see no area code that I can identify with here in California. Hallelujah. I said, what's going on here? But God knows everything. I see Apostle Johnson is on the line, and I'm so glad to see him. Oh, God, there's some help right there. I see Elder Gates is on the line, so there's some more strength. There's some more power on this line. Amen. I don't know which one of these numbers is our speaker today. I have your cell phone in my database here, but what I'm going to do is open up some of these 517 area codes and see which one is Apostle Moore on today.
Hello?
Amen. Maybe he's calling. Is this you?
This is me. Can you hear me?
Amen. I can hear you loud and clear. You must be at the desk in that beautiful church that God bless you with. Are you maybe in your mansion at home?
God
Where
bless
you,
Sister Adrian.
I
How
want y'all to know that I'm doing wonderful. I tell you, I've been so excited just to have this young man with us today. I've been knowing him over 20-some odd years, and I tell you, he has not changed. His love for God and his love for people has not changed. His sister is one of my good girlfriends, one of my best girlfriends, and I tell you, he's my little big brother in the Lord, amen. So I'm just so excited about what God is doing in his life, and I thank God for his beautiful wife, our First Lady Josephine Moore, and they're just doing a wonderful work. But we're going to open up with the word of prayer. I'm going to ask Apostle Johnson to open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right on in. And I tell you, you all are going to be pleased with this young man. He loves the Lord, and I tell you, I'm going to let, we're going to get into it in just a moment, but we're going to ask Apostle Johnson. God bless you, man of God. How are you today?
Amen. God bless you as well. Let us pray. Most gracious and kind Father, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you, God, for who you are, God. We thank you for what you're about to do in this hour. We thank you, God, for your outpouring of your Holy Spirit, God, on your manservant, to bring forth a fresh rhema word. Father, we ask you, God, to allow us to have ears to hear your word on today, God. God, allow it to be healing, God, to our souls. Father, allow us to hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against thee, O God. Father, we just thank you and we bless you, God, for being that great and awesome God that you are. Father, we ask you, God, to continue, God, to do what you do best, God. God, that is control our lives, God. Father, we just thank you and we love you and we bless you and praise you for an awesome, awesome move of you on today. And Father, we're blessing you and praising you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we just thank you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Johnson. This is another young man that's doing a wonderful work out of the Carolinas. And I tell you, God has just been blessing us. And you know, sometimes when God begins to bless you, you're looking for the blessing and you're expecting the blessing. But when he begins to just open up those windows of heaven and pull out that blessing that he tells you about in the Bible, then you're like, Lord, I can't even receive this. I tell you, God is just doing some amazing, great things. And he's doing the things that he's promised us to do. And all he wants us to do is act upon those promises. All he wants us to do is to continue to trust him, to continue to believe him. Amen. So this man of God on today, I tell you, I have to pull up his bio. Amen. But before I do that, I want to introduce him to you all, and I want to ask him a little. I'm going to allow him to tell us a little something about his ministry. Amen. I know that he came from a wonderful family, a woman of God that loved, an evangelist for a mother. I mean, she sat on the executive board with the Pentecostal churches of the apostolic faith. So he's not a novice, and he's not somebody that just was kicked up off the side of the road. This young man has been in holiness all, just about all of his phase of life, amen. So he had a mother that loved the Lord and trained him, and she went on to be with the Lord about 2 years ago. But I tell you, as I begin to think about you coming on here, Apostle Moore, I begin to think about Mother Thoroughly and all of the love that she shown to the saints of God and how she ministered and how she just had this nurturing spirit. I never heard her say an unkind word, just love the Lord, even to those that wasn't saved. Miss Pearly just had a way about her. She just had this way of just embracing people and making them feel special and what have you. So I tell you, he's a product of his mom, and I just love him on today. So we're going to go, you know, and I'm a little late. You all forgive me. I got a little sidetracked today. I had so much going on this morning, and I just forgot to pull up this bio, but it's right here on my computer. So I want you all to know this young man, again, he's not a novice. He's been serving God for a long time. So at this time, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others our speaker for the hour, and that's none other than Apostle Philip Moore. And he already is very much aware of this series we're doing on the Acts of the Apostles. So I just want God to use them mightily in this particular segment. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you. How you doing, Sister Adrian? I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
I couldn't hardly sleep last night. I'm so excited. Can you hear me clear?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Okay, I'm glad you can. Well, anyway, we are excited. I told my church about this interview that we're doing today, and so that's why you got some of the 517. They wasn't privy to this before this date, and so I just began to let them know what was going on and the great work that you're doing also. Amen. We praise God for you, because without you, this part of the vineyard would not be possible. And somebody need to hear this word and hear the words that is coming out of these mighty men and women of God that you are putting on the air. And we praise God for you and what you're doing. We don't want it to come unknown or unnoticed, but it takes something to do a work. And we thank God, first of all, that you had heard what he said and you went out and done what he said. That's a blessing all by itself. So we want to give you big kudos today, and I'm just excited for you also. And yes, I am happy to come and share a word or two with the people of God for a few moments today. I don't mind doing that at all. But you want to know a little bit about our church. We're located in Okemos, Michigan. Okemos. People up here usually say Okemos, but it's Okemos, Michigan, and that's on the outskirts of Lansing, by East Lansing, kind of by Michigan State University. And we have our church been in existence now for approximately 8 years. I've been pastor now, senior pastor, for approximately 8 years. I've been saved and sanctified, and as they would say, the old schoolers, filled with the Holy Ghost since over 20 years ago. And so we praise God for that. My mother was a traveling evangelist, a missionary. She was in the country, out of the country, and she just did a great work. As you were talking about her, my mind was reflecting, and I was thinking, I said, wow. I said, I'd never even heard my mother cuss. I'd never really seen her get out of bounds or anything. And so she really exemplified holiness to us. And so although we didn't always do what was right, you know, I grew up in church, around church, but when I got a little older, you know, we kind of went our way, and God brought us back, which is good. But it was good for us to experience what we have experienced, and now we are on a roll with God. So it's been 20-plus years that we've been serving him with our whole heart, and so we thank God for what he's doing here in Okemos, Michigan.
Amen, amen. Now, tell us a little bit about your ministry, and tell us a little bit about what you have done far as your accomplishments in ministry. Give us a little background about how you became a minister.
Well, I've been preaching the gospel now over 20 years, probably over 20 years. I started off in the prison ministry, just teaching in the prison ministry, and from there, God called me into ministry. Once he called me into ministry, I got very active in ministry, and God, I got down into his word. Some people nowadays, they go to school and they do different things, which I have too. I've been to school and college and things like that for ministry, and I think it's very needful, but you have to get ministry down in you. And so God seen the call God seen what I had on the inside of me and the desire that I had to serve him, because I told the Lord when I came over here, I didn't just want to serve him part-time. I wanted to serve him for real because he brought me from a mighty long way. I was doing some things I had no business doing, and God, you know, he pulled me out of some mud. And once he pulled me out of the mud, I made a pact with God. I said, God, I tell you what, you pulled me out of this thing. I said, I'm going to serve you. I know better than getting in myself into this situation anyway, but I said, I promised to serve you. And so God did exactly that. You know, we serve a faithful God. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And I began to serve the Lord, and I fell in love with the Lord, messed around, fell in love with the Lord. And I tell you, I got active in the church, and then I became a youth leader in my church at home. I come up under the leadership of Dr. Bishop Alfred Singleton. Now, he's located in Lansing, Michigan. But I came up under his tutelage, and I was a youth leader. And then from there, we had about 20-some churches in Michigan. I was elected to be a vice president for the state of Michigan. And so from there, then I became the president of the youth for the state of Michigan for 4 years also. And shortly after that, God called me into having my own church. And so when I had left the ministry, my pastor, he said, "My son, I know that you have ministry on you, and I know you have to minister because God has been working with you." And so we ventured out on the words of God and started our church. We had a very small church. Actually, it was seven of us. I have six family members, me, my wife, and four kids, and plus a man I preached out to prison, and that's how we really started our church with seven members. And we started from there and off the word of God, and God began to move with that thing, move with it, starting a little storefront church, and we loved it, took care of it, we cleaned it and everything, and 8 years later, we're in a nice facility. God had moved us from the storefront to a place where we can relax and enjoy the Lord. We're doing some mighty things here in Okemos.
Yes, yes, yes. Now tell us a little bit about your family. You know, your wife and how many children. Give us a little history on that, because I know she's the love of your life, and also your children. You cherish and love them also.
Okay, I have four children. My youngest is 15 years old. They're in high school. I have two. I have a 15-year-old in high school. I have a 16-year-old in high school, and then I have two that is in college, a boy, and also my daughter who's in college, and they're doing fabulous. God is working with them. They work in the ministry at the church. I have a son who's a drummer and also a key. He's learning the organ and keyboards. He's phenomenal at drumming, but I think he have an ear to play also. And then my youngest son, he plays the saxophone, so he's just getting started with that. He's sometimey, but, you know, sometimes kids are until they know what they really want to do. I have a daughter also, my youngest daughter, who is 16. She's prophetic, and she really has a gift. She haven't tapped into it yet, but just listening to her conversations sometimes. I mean, she can see so good and so well. Sometimes I just sit down and talk to her and ask her about different things, and she can pick up very, very well. And she gets that from my wife. My wife is dynamic. Juanita Bynum, who? If you ever heard my wife speak, oh, my goodness, she's phenomenal. Now, my wife comes from Saginaw, Michigan, but she was very, very shy, Sister Adrian, and to the listeners. You talking about what God can do? I mean, she was very shy, very timid. You know, she wouldn't say much. She couldn't testify without crying, and she only said very few words. But we got to praying. I tell you, we got to praying, and God got to moving, and we started a prayer group. And I tell you, prayer does change things. If you were to hear my wife preach this gospel now, I'm telling you, she could go at any cathedral, any place in the world and preach the gospel. She is totally dynamic, and so she's a big help in our ministry. She's very fiery, but a lady of wisdom. And so we praise God for her. You know, when you have a family that's helping out in the ministry, that helps ministry go so much better, so much better. And so we praise God for our family also, and also my church family. Oh, I think I probably have one of the best church families in the world. They're awesome people, and so we thank God for them. You know, we really do. Our church is how would I say this? It's not a traditional church. It's not a normal church.
That's good.
Pardon me?
That's good.
Yeah, and I don't regret that at all, because the way God is training them and how he's bringing them up, it's not like how I was brought up. I was brought up in church, and we had a lot of do's and don'ts, and that kind of deterred a lot of my friends and relatives from church, but I knew what the church was trying to do, and it was good for us at that time, which was okay, you know, and those who wanted to be saved were going to be saved, but nowadays church is a little different. You know, God haven't changed, but how we do and the method that we use now is a little different than what we used years ago, but our churches, I mean, we have a little bit of everybody from, you name it, from folks off the streets to people who are highly intelligent, and it's just a mass variety of what we have. Our church is called New Life, and that's exactly what God is doing. Some come out of prisons, and some come from the economic background. Some come from the educational background. I mean, we have from counselors to principals to the pharmaceutical reps to you name it at our church to just everyday people, and they all come for one reason, that's to serve and praise God, and that's good when they have not been infected with so many things that the church of old was infected with. All they know is just that they come in to serve and worship God, and it's not a whole bunch of other stuff with it, you know, and it's a purity that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I'm so glad that God have formed our church like the way he had formed our church. It's an awesome experience. Every time I have a visitor come or invite a visitor to come and speak at our church, they talk about the freedom in our church and what God have done. And I brought my old pastor here about, it was 7 years when I had started this ministry. So on our 7-year anniversary, my pastor came to preach, and he said, "My Lord," he says, he began to talk about the ministry, and he was just outdone at what God is doing and the freedom and the liberty that we have at our house. And so we praise God for that. That's a blessing to be free at your place of worship.
Amen, amen. Now, how were you able, Apostle Moore, to transcend from, you know, not a traditional background of religion, but the traditional background that you had being raised in the apostolic church? How were you able to make that transition and then just do have the body and the flock that God has given you shepherd over to be more of a non-denominational, I'll say?
I won't really call it a transition, because once you're in God, and when you're really in God, you're just in God. And so I would call, we have transferred from out of maybe titles, or maybe if you want to call it denomination or whatever. But I asked someone a question. I asked them, I said, "What denomination was Jesus?" And they couldn't tell me. So I guess it wasn't really important. I don't know if you caught that, Sister Adrian, but I said I asked them, what denomination was Jesus, and they didn't tell me, so I guess it wasn't important. So I still got my roots. I have all my roots. We believe in the whole Word of God. You know, a lot of people are saying that they are this and they are of that, and really, they really not. They really not. But what we've done was simply this. We are out of a box thinker, you know, because God is not in a box. We serve an out-of-the-box God, and when you serve an out-of-the-box God, you become like him. The Bible tells us we was made in his image and in his likeness, and if I'm going to be anything like my father, you know, if he's out of the box, I got to be out of the box. And so our ministry doesn't have any boundaries on it. I mean, we trust God and believe God for crazy and ridiculous things, and we put it out. Just last night at Bible class, I began to talk to our people, and I said, "Is it all right if we can be made a fool out of for serving God? You know, if we can get past that mentality that we're not shy or we don't mind being made a fool out of by God per se. If we can get to that place, then we don't have many things holding us back from really stretching out to becoming what God wants us to become." Because a lot of us are timid about stretching out because we are afraid of what the naysayers is going to say. You know, we could be gifted, we could be talented, but because we are afraid of what people are going to say and how they're going to look at us, we will hold down and lock down a gift that God has given us. And so my mindset is to transform our mindset that because we got an out-of-the-box God, that we think out of the box and so that we can achieve and go to the greater things in God. You know, I can't just serve a normal. You know, we don't have a normal God, so I don't just have a normal ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
It gets exciting to me because we have brand our ministry. I don't know about in business. I also run businesses. I have a business of my own. I used to work for the government in accounting and financing, and I left that. God told me to leave it and start my own company, and I started my own company. But there again, that's out-of-the-box thinking because if you set up for life, you know, I had pension, I had insurance, I had all the whole nine yards court, especially when you're working for the government, you have all of that. Yeah, but God said, leave that stuff and go out and trust me, you know, and trust me. And folks call me crazy because I had a good job, and they call me this and that. But, you know, when you stretch out on God and trust God, he do some things for you that can't no man do. You know what I mean, Sister Adrian? Whew, God, we have experienced this life. I'm telling you, my wife and I and my kids, we have experienced this life because we trust God. And what I mean by that is, I mean, we've done what we wanted to do. Hawaii and all that other stuff, I've been to those places. I'm not excited anymore. I'm excited about ministry. My kids grew up skiing on the hills, you know. We was probably the only little black kids on the hills at the time. But we grew up skiing and all this kind of stuff and having boats and stuff like that because we had decided to trust God. And God blessed our company there. We was one of the top companies around. And he blessed us financially where we could live with a freedom and can do other things that others couldn't do because they were still stuck, you know, on every day and what man say, you know. And so God had did that for us. And so making a transition, if you would say, it was really not a transition. It was just us really just trusting God to the fullest and believing his word. And with that, that's how we develop our church. We develop our church the same way. And so our church setting is different than most church settings.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say this, and then I'm going to let you get on into the word. I know we have difficulty sometimes in our natural families, and especially those that are in the body. And I know you have sisters and brothers. You know, I'm good friends with your sister and what have you. And I know sometimes we have, we ride on our emotions sometimes, and, you know, we feel when God has called us to do a work, then guess what? Our family should follow us. But, you know, your family was originally with Bishop Singleton. So they said right there, did any of them come over with you to be a support or a helper, left that that word and said, well, hey, I'm going to go over here and be a support and help my brother? And did you experience any of that?
I did experience that. I tell you what, my mom was the number one because my mom at the time, she was still living. And my mom, she was so excited for me, so happy for me. And she knew I had ministry. I would go with her sometimes to some of her events where she would have to preach at and, you know, just sit back and listen to her. But when I got the call to become a pastor, she was so torn because, I mean, it's been 35 years that we was at one church. And so you have 35 years at one church. It's hard to leave there. I mean, I have to leave. I mean, it was hard for me to leave, and God called me. And so, Sister Adrian, I said, Lord have mercy, this is tough. You know, I think I cried my last day at church. And I said, man, this is a tough thing to do, to leave your family. And so, but you have to do what God said at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's right to do what the Lord have put upon your heart. And so what I've done was simply this, is I prayed about it. And as God was transitioning us to start our ministry, my mother came and she began to talk to me. And she said, son, I'll go with you. She says, I'll go with you. And I seen the pain in her because she loved her old church and all her friends, but she loved her son too. And so I said, Mom, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I would love for you to go. And I would love for all my brothers and sisters to go too. But God gave me a piece of comfort And he said, listen, I called you. And he told me he called me. And so I told my mother, I said, Mom, God called me. He didn't call y'all. I said, what you all do, you all stay here. This is where he had called you all to. Now, if God says something in a year or two for y'all to move or whatever, that's up to you and God. But right now, I got to do what God has called me to do. And I made it easy for her. I said, don't you go nowhere, because I know you could have helped me. I knew she could have helped me. I said, you stay here and let me go do what God called me to do. And if it be of God, it'll flourish. But if it don't, it will come to naught. And so sometimes we hear a call and we don't know if it's God or not. And so I put it out there, as they did in the book of Acts, if it be of God, it will flourish. And if it's not of God, then it will come to naught. And so I left it at that. I told my mom, we're going out. You all stay here. And so that's how I came. And my mom would come over and preach for me sometimes and things like that. I had a sister who you know, she would come over and things like that. But our church home was I come from a beautiful church home. Bishop Singleton, and so that's my man of God there, and so most of them are still there, and I have a brother who's a year older than me. He wasn't in church, but we all grew up at the same church, but he never did get in church. Now, he's a member of my church, but my elder brothers and sisters, they, two of those are still members at Bethlehem Temple, so it's two at Bethlehem Temple Church, and I have one brother with me, so... So that's how that kind of went, Sister Adrian. So I think it was what God had called us to do and called them to do, too, because sometimes you can mix family into some things because you want them so bad and God ain't called them, you can have a whole bunch of trouble. So I praise God for them just coming by and visiting. And when they do come by and visit, we have a great time in God. And so that's good for me. I'm okay. If I want to see them, I can go over to their house or they can come over mine.
You know.
Not always we have to work together.
That's wonderful. And, you know, I am so just, my heart is just so happy today to see how God has tremendously blessed your word. And sometimes, you know, when we leave, sometimes it's a hard thing, as you said, and sometimes the leaders are not willing to release us when God says go. But and then some of us go before our appointed time. You know, even though God has a calling on our lives, sometimes we'll go before we are really prepared and equipped and ready to launch out there. So I thank God because the Bible does say all signs shall follow you. And we can see that you have done a tremendous work, and to just have your wife and your children and one or two members, and to just stretch out and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, because you were already so successful in the natural realm because you were a contractor and you were an entrepreneur. But you had to really just launch out there when you said, hey, you felt that calling, and you knew that calling was for you to launch your own ministry. And sometimes, you know, when you're launching your own ministry in the same city and in the same locale sometimes, it causes conflict with our leaders and what have you. But I know one thing, that God has souls out there that no one can reach but us. And there's so many souls out there. So,
amen.
You know, we need to just trust God and go after the souls, you know. And if it's of God, it will flourish, like you said. It will prosper.
Amen. You know, I want to interject this if I could. I'm sorry, but this is a good point I want to make, because, you know, when it is of God, you know, he will send somebody to give you confirmation. Before I had left the church, and because you do have an uproar sometimes when you leave, I was very active at my church. And so who want to lose a good person? Nobody want to lose a good person. I don't want to lose a good employee, you know. And so sometimes that can cause controversy and uproar. But before I left, God had sent a prophet to our church, our previous church. And you know what the prophet said? The prophet said, listen, this is my last day at the church. We never met him before. He came from Africa somewhere. And my pastor was out of town at the time. He was down in Chicago. I remember it very clear. But it was a prophet that came to the church, and he began to preach. And he began to tell his story about when he was transitioning and going from a church. And he said he was very active in his church. And he says they didn't really want him to go because, you know, he was very active. Note, I was a youth leader at the church, and so I had influence with the youth and others also. And so I was very into what I was into. But this man came and began to preach a message, Sister Adrian. And when he preached this message, he says, listen, if God say go, you better go. He turned around again, and he looked me dead in my eye until I got, I began to shake on the inside. He says, if God said go, he pointed right at me, and I never met this man a day in my life. He says, you better go. Because he says, if you don't go, God will kill the king. He says, if you don't go, God will kill the king. And I sat there on the pulpit with tears going out of my eyes. I looked at my assistant pastor. He shrugged his shoulders like, you better get out of here, man. And so because I love my pastor so much, I said, God, don't touch him. I'll go. I'll take all the ridicule. I'll take all the persecution. I said, no, you can leave the man of God alone. I said, I'll go out here wherever you want me to go. And so my mind was totally made up. My wife was shaking in her seat when she said that, when that apostle had said preacher had said that. And I tell you what, I haven't told that story to like maybe even 10 people ever, but and most people never knew this even to this day, so I'm airing it right now on radio, and I never really told this story before, but most people don't know that. But when God say go, you better go. And when that prophet said that he'll kill the king, one thing I did know, I didn't want nobody to touch my pastor, and so I loved him that much, and I said, I'm going to go, and I'll take whatever. And God began to work. He began to do a work.
Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. We know it is of God. And we have some young leaders on the line. We have some pastors on the line, apostles on the line, ministers and evangelists on the line. Some have launched a ministry as quickly and as soon as this past week. And I tell you, you have to know when God has a calling on your life. And I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to let Apostle get on into this message. I remember when I was relocating from Atlanta back to California, because I lived in Los Angeles. And I remember the calling that God had placed on my life, because sometimes you experience it and you see some of the leaders follow, you know, you're very hesitant. And I never wanted to preach this gospel. That was not something Adrian wanted to do. I love coordinating it, events and activities. And Marcia's on the line too. She's on the line, so she hears me. And I didn't accept that. But I had two prophecies come forward that I was going to preach. And I said, this is not for me. And I remember the last month I was at a conference in Montgomery, Alabama, with my pastor, Bishop Leo Lewis, and Austin Dawson. You know Austin, Pastor Dawson. You know him, Philip.
Yep.
His wife was the preacher that day, and I had never met this woman. And I told this story to Marcia. I had never met this woman. And as she finished her message, and you know you're going on off the pulpit to get out of the wet clothes, and I was sitting on the end, and she stopped. Hallelujah. And she laid hands on my belly. And she said, woman of God, you will be preaching and ministering to nations. That's what she told me. And that was the month that I left Atlanta and relocated here in Stockton. So I'm Philip, you are a witness today, and the young men, we have about 15 callers on the line right now. And I tell you, if God has given you something to do, yes, it hurts when you have to leave family behind. It hurts when nobody buys into your vision. But honey, if God gives you the vision, he said the vision, don't it carry? Hey, wait on it. You got to wait on it, especially when you know down in your sanctified soul that God has given it to you. God gave you that ministry. It was time for you to go. Hallelujah. No matter what the enemy has said, God has shown his hand in your life. He has shown that you're called. He's shown that you were supposed to launch out because he has blessed your ministry. Hallelujah. He has married you to preach this gospel. So I'm giving it over to him. We're talking about the Acts of the Apostles. Hallelujah. And Philip has been baptized in Jesus' name. Filled with the Holy Ghost. He's into all of this stuff. Hey, he's into doing the will of God. Woo, God, don't get me started. Come on, Apostle Mo.
Amen. It doesn't always feel good sometimes, and I'm going to talk to the listeners for just a moment. When you taking a leap of faith and you stepping out on God, people may not always understand you, but it's not for them to understand, and you have to understand that. Because sometimes you want somebody to amen you in your corner, but that's not what it's for. God, when God called you, he called you for his purpose and for his will, and so you have to make a move according to God. Even my pastor didn't understand it until he came back to the seven-year anniversary, and when he came back, he said, "Now I know." He said, "I came to be a blessing and to give a message." And me and him talked. We went to the country club, and he said, "I'm so proud of you." He said, "I didn't understand it." He said, "God didn't allow me to understand it." And so he told me his version of it, and it was all good after that. And so we praise God, and we have a beautiful relationship to this day. And even though he didn't understand it at the time, you still have to move if God calls you. And so today we praise God for this portion of the service. I want to tell you just a little bit more about our ministry. We have branded our ministry. I think everybody needs to brand their ministry. And what I mean by that is to everything needs to have a brand. Why did God call you? He didn't call us all to be the hands. He didn't call us all to be the feet, the head. There's a lot of members in this body. And when we're working for the body of Christ, we got to know who we are and our particular function in the body. And so I believe that we should brand ourselves like cattle herders. They brand their cattle so they'll know which one is theirs, because, you know, there's a lot going on out there, and some of them cattle get mixed up. You don't know which one is yours. And so we brand our ministry with it's called a DEF ministry, which is D-E-F. That's the acronyms. Deliverance. We believe in being big on deliverance, empowerment also, and also faith. That's how we kind of focus our ministry in those three areas, because I believe for number one in this day, especially in this day, because time is short and it's at hand, and the Lord is soon to come, and you don't hear many messages about that now, about the Lord is coming back. You know, all the messages you hear now is how to make it in this world and how to succeed, but the Lord is on his way back, and that's why you don't hear so many messages. But the people of God have been handcuffed and have been locked down, and not just the people of God, but this world. And before people can really serve God like they need to serve God, they have to be delivered. And so me as an apostle, I work in that realm of deliverance. We work in the realm of casting out demons, and we work in the realm of laying hands on and trusting God to deliver bodies from cancer and different diseases. It happens all the time in our ministry, and so we thank God for that part of the ministry that he has given us. But we do know it's hard to work for God or live for God when you are bound, and so we have to set people free. And so that's part of our brand, is to deliver people. After they have been delivered, then we have to empower them. You know, the Bible says after the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall receive power. And so they have to have the power, the ability to do what God have told us to do. And in the faith part of it, we know that it's impossible to please God without faith. And so that's how we came up with the DEF ministry, deliverance, empowerment, and faith. And we circle all of our ministry pretty much around that, because that's what God have called us to. Now, this year, 2013, our theme was, our theme is that we got the power. We got the power. And we took that from the book of Acts, of course, where the Lord had said back in the book of Genesis, he had made us in his image and in his likeness. And because God had made us in his image and had made us in his likeness, he didn't just do that, but he also given us the power. The Bible says in the book of Acts, after the Holy Ghost have come upon you, you shall receive power. And so we're going to need the power to do this work in this day. Amen, somebody. And so we believe in having the power to do what we need to do. And so this is how we taking it from this realm and this this part of the vineyard in this day for our 2013. It has impacted my church because we are letting the church know who they are and what they really hold. You know, to the listeners out there, and I'm going to say this before I get into the book of Acts chapter 13, sometimes I think that God get a little disturbed with us because we are or we have been asking God for too much. I think the people of God sometimes can become crybabies. And I say that because it's frustrating to – I'm a football coach also. It's frustrating to a coach who have given somebody the equipment, the drills, the ability to do some things, and then they set them out on the field and they don't use nothing that the coach had given them. That's frustrating to a coach. The Bible lets us know that God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has given us power. He has given us everything that we need. And a lot of us are still crying to God, saying, Lord, help me with this and help me with that. And God said, hold on. I have sent back my Holy Spirit, and I have empowered you for you to do some stuff. And so we are asking God, I believe, in this day. I'm talking to real to those that are really connected. Why would God empower us and give us the power to do things, and then he do it for us? Some things we ought to be doing ourselves. Some stuff we ought to be praying off ourselves. But because we have become a lazy nation, for one, we don't want to spend time getting to know God so that we can tap into that power realm where he operates out of. And we'll go to God and cry to God and ask God to move the mountain. But on that point, Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 22, he says, have faith in God. He didn't say try and have faith. He would never tell you to do something that you have to try and do. He just says have faith in God. And then he goes on to say, if you have faith in God, he says, you can speak to the mountain. He didn't tell us to tell God to speak to the mountain because we have power. The Bible says after the Holy Ghost come upon us, we're going to have power. We're going to have power to speak to our mountains. And it's hard. I don't know. Well, maybe they're not ready for this yet. But it's hard for me to know that we have the power to do some things, and I sit back and watch people just fade away. He says we can speak to the mountains and tell that mountain to get out of our way and to go be cast into the sea. He says we have that power. And so I believe in using the power in which God have given us in this day. And so looking at the book of Acts chapter 13, I'm just taking an observation. As I was looking at this, Sister Adrian, I began to look at this thing, and I try to look at how the apostles operated. You'll see later on in this chapter how Paul began to operate and how he operated. He began to talk to, you remember, as we go down a little deeper into this series, into this chapter, you'll see that Paul had to deal with somebody out of a place where normal people wouldn't deal with him. And to be an apostle or to be apostolic, you know, a lot of people are talking about the apostolic nowadays, and they really don't really understand what apostolic is all about. They really don't understand what Pentecostal is really about. They think it's just being baptized in Jesus' name and been talked in tongues once or twice, and they think they're all good. But this is the Acts of the Apostles. It ain't just what they said. It's what they did. Amen.
Hello.
And so I'm looking at this thing. And so now the church in the book of Acts picks up. The church is free. They're free to preach because Herod is gone now. King Herod is gone. And so now Paul and Barnabas, they begin to have a prayer service at church, and the Holy Spirit comes. Here comes that power again. The Holy Spirit comes into the church and says, we got to split them up. He said, Antioch, we got to send Paul and Barnabas on to do a new work. And so some people get afraid about change. Even when you're coming from your comfort zone, a lot of times we can get afraid about change or a new work. And if you understand God, God is a progressive God. Every day that we experience on this life is a new day. We ought not be afraid of change because every day is a new day. And I have to oftentimes thank God for a day that we had never seen before and a day that we'll never see again. And so I do that with my congregation just to keep them aware that we got to make the most out of the new things that God have given us. And so each day I got to run as hard as I did on the last day for him. But I like this book of Acts chapter 13 because this is where the saints, this is where the not just the Jews, but now the Gentiles come into play. And so Paul was getting ready to go preach to the Gentiles. This is where he brings the Gentiles in. But I'll give you a little synopsis of this, and if you want to interject or anybody have any questions, you can feel free. But let me just give you a little overlay of the book of Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas, they get ready to get split up. They get ready to go do a work. They start a new work. Paul and Barnabas, they're on their first missionary journey. And if you look at between chapter verse 4 and 12, you see them traveling, and they traveling to another place. Why? To start ministry. There's nothing wrong with starting ministry, you all. We got more bars on corners and more gambling places being built all over this country. Why can't we have more churches? If you have seen the statistics of how many churches are selling daily, we need as many churches out there, real churches, not no little junk now, but I'm talking about real churches that's going to do the will of God for real. We need the real stuff out there. And if we get the real stuff out there, we can make a change. We can cause an effect in the areas in which we are in. When you are in a church, you are designed for that area, that location, that region, to make a difference in that region. We were not long ago, we moved to a different area of town. And so where we are at now, we are the minorities where we are at now. And so being that minorities, every time you go into a game or whatever, basketball game, football game, everybody, you get everybody's attention because they want to know who you are. You're not like us. And so we as the people of God, we ought to want to cause a change in those unfamiliar areas. And this is what Paul and Barnabas was doing. They was getting ready to go out from among the nest and begin to do missionary work, which was so awesome. And so Paul and Barnabas, they went from place to place. And it was one place that they had went to. Let me look at verse 14 or somewhere around 12 or 14, where Paul, I believe it was Paul, he was preaching down by the governor's office, and it was a guy who was so intrigued with him, but there was also somebody there who was a false prophet and a sorcerer, and his name was Bar-Jesus. I believe you all remember him. Mm-hmm. But the guy who was so intrigued with Paul, he was under the influence of the false prophet and the sorceress. And so Paul was trying to convert people. What I'm trying to tell you all is this, is that people may have already have some influences in them, but when Holy Ghost-filled people come around, we have the power to convert folk. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have that power. We got to walk in the power and the authority in which God has given us. I don't go to places and conform to people and conform to their styles, you know. But even in mass areas of people, sometimes you feel, you know, a little small because, you know, you go into to their neck of the woods. But we ought to have enough in us to carry enough God in us to wherever we go, we cause that place to transform and make them people transform according to us. And so when Paul went to the governor's mansion, him and Barnabas, this guy was intrigued with him. But the false prophet looked at him. What was his name? Sergius, that's his name. The Bible says he was a prudent man. That means he was a wise and a discerning man. And he knew it was something about them Holy Ghost-filled boys. See, when you got this thing for real, wherever you go, folks going to discern something about you. You know, I can go to games or go wherever I go. I can put a baseball hat on. I don't have to wear a preacher shirt and tell everybody I'm a preacher or apostle or whatever. But I can be who I am. It got to be something radiating out the side, out the inside of my spirit that transcends into them and let them know it's got to be something different about that man. And so, you know, this wise and discerning person was able to even though he was under the influence of a false prophet, he was able to pick up the spirit of God that was in Paul and Barnabas. And my Lord, this fellow started, Bar-Jesus kept interrupting while Paul was trying to witness to the governor. And Paul, the Bible say that Paul was trying to keep his cool, if I could use that word. He was trying to keep his cool. But a holy boldness came up in him. And he began to call on the Lord to strike the man with blindness, because the man was trying to interfere with the work of the ministry. It's dangerous for anybody to try to interfere with the work of the ministry. And so you got to be careful when you trying to throw a little block out there to stop somebody from ministry or ministering. It's too many people that need help. Too many people that need help. And so the book of Acts just goes on and talks about how the people were converted. Paul was preaching a message. He went somewhere else. Him and Barnabas was preaching a message until the Jews, first he had to come in and preach to the Jews because that was just his way of getting to the Gentiles. But the Gentiles had, after the service was over, the Gentiles, you know, they couldn't come out first. The Jews had to come out first. That was customary at the time of a synagogue. And so the Gentiles stayed back, and they begin to ask Paul questions, and they said, man, we want you to come back next week. You know, it's good to get some good preaching and good teaching because you want them to come back again. A lot of times you go places and people say, oh, you did a nice job. But don't pay that attention. If folks don't call you back, you probably didn't do as good as you thought you did, okay? but when people want you to come back, you know you know God is really working in you and working for them. So they call Paul back. They said, Paul, we want you to come back. And so the Jews said, yeah, we want you to come back. And then they wanted to come back week after week. And my Lord, folks, when the Holy Ghost get to moving and God get to moving in folks' life and there becomes a change, a real change, and you begin to affect the area, those that are wicked gets nervous.
Ooh.
I said those that are wicked get nervous because now you tapping in on their territory. It shouldn't be territorial if we all working for the same company.
Come on.
If we all serving the same God, it shouldn't be territorial. And so they got, so they start tripping out pretty much. And they said, hold on. This man is starting to tap on some of the stuff that, you know, that we involved in. And so you know how it is. Folks start talking and start, the Bible lets us know that they went and got some of their high fashion people. And they begin to plot against Paul and Barnabas to run them out of town. But this is the book in which Paul, he had went to preach to the Jews, but also he was converting the Gentiles by the big numbers. And so he said, since y'all won't take it like I really need to take it, he said, I'll preach to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles had accepted this ministry, had accepted what God was doing because they seen some righteousness in this thing. They said, hold on, I don't want to go to hell for nothing. You know, they said, Paul, come on, tell us some more about this thing. And so the book of Acts is really a book where the Gentiles is being brought into this thing in more of a full way. Paul had to let some of the Jews and fight with them and let them know who Jesus really is. You know, it's pitiful for us that call ourselves Christians and still have to convince Christians that Christendom is right. That's pitiful. Why should we have to still convince those who say that they are Christians that living a Christian life is right, especially in front of the world? If anybody ought to grab hands together, it ought to be the Christians. But it seems like sometimes we got to convince each other that, okay, I'm going to go to church tonight. I ain't going to go to watch the football game or the basketball game. No. There should be something on the inside of you that agrees with what's right in the spirit realm. And so I'm baffled on some of the things I see in this era and in this day because I don't think that the church is really tapping into the power which God has given us, Sister Adrian, in this day. You know, God has been magnificent and has done some magnificent things for us, but if we don't really get down to the nuts and bolts of this thing, we'll just go around, like the children of Israel, we'll go around the mountain for 40 years and never really understanding how great God is, you know. I tell my church often, I says, faith is knowledge. And I've heard many scriptures, but the reason I tell them that faith is knowledge is because when you know somebody, you can trust somebody. Is that safe to say, Sister Adrian?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you know somebody, now when you know somebody, a child who knows their parents,
come on.
When they know them, they can trust them. But it's hard to trust somebody you don't know. That's
all
why
right.
The church have so much trouble trusting God, because they really don't know God.
They don't know.
Folks don't put enough time in and spend enough time with God to really know who God is. And so I tell my church, I said, you get to know God, you will trust God, and your faith level will go up high. You will have mountaintop faith when you trust God, because you will trust God at his word. Because you'll know the attributes of God, you'll know how God moves, you'll understand God. But when we don't trust him, it's because we don't really have a relationship with him like we think we do. You show me a person who got little faith, I'll show you a person who's not too intimate with God. I trust my wife. My wife trusts me. I don't care how many men is out here. I trust my wife to go anywhere. Why? I have a relationship with her, an intimate relationship, and I know her. I have faith in her. That's why when the Bible says you can speak to the mountain, that's not a hard thing for me to do, is to speak to the mountain. Why? Because I trust the God who tells me to speak to the mountain.
Come on.
And so this is what we got to have in this day. We got to go back to where the power lies at, where the faith lies at, so that we can become the true Christian that we're supposed to become. We sometimes get caught up into this fairy tale Christendom that is going around in this world, and it's good to look nice, but it's not like everybody's saying the same thing, everybody doing the same thing. God didn't call us to be the same.
Come on.
Now, we operate out of the same spirit, but he didn't call us to be the same.
Oh.
I remember I used to want to preach like certain preachers. You know, you have great preachers out there, Bishop Jakes, T.D. Jakes. You have Noel Jones. You have, a lot of other ones that a lot of people know. And, man, I used to practice, want to be like them. The guy tapped me on my shoulder one day, said, listen, I got them. I don't need them. I need you to perfect your craft.
Come on.
Oh, Adrian, you know what? I said, God, thank you, because I would have wasted a whole bunch of time trying to be like somebody else and won't have no anointing.
That's it.
Won't have no anointing. But if you, I dare you to get down to your the nuts and bolts in God with yourself and get down to some serious praying and calling out to God and living right and holy, and you'll see God do some magnificent things in your life. That's why Paul was so effective, because Paul, when he got converted, he didn't just get converted just to be converted. He went hardcore, just like he did when he wasn't in church. See, if you ran hard outside the church, you should show enough come in church and run hard. Paul said, man, I messed with a lot of folks when I was outside of church. But now he says, I was committed. Now here he is taking off on a missionary journey. He says, as hard as I ran against the gospel, he said, I'm going to run even that much harder for the gospel. And so now Paul takes off going across dangerous seas and things like that, with winds blowing and tempests blowing and boats breaking. Why? Just to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's because he knows something about who Jesus is. He spent some time with him, and he began to have an intimate relationship with him, and his faith had just went up. He wasn't worried about them throwing him in jail. Folks who connected with him, he ain't worried about folks throwing him in jail and what people going to say. Lord have mercy. I wish the church would become as bold as they should be nowadays. We would have more dynamic preachers and speakers and evangelists and prophets, and you talking about making some moves in this realm. We can call some stuff to happen. Lord have mercy. We can call some things to happen. I'm just excited about what God is doing, though. He has been moving in a mighty way here at New Life International Church in Okemos, Michigan. And we're glad, Sister Adrian. I'm willing to take any questions if there is any, if we have time or if you have any suggestions or comments.
We have time, Apostle Moore, and we're going to open up the lines. Lord Jesus, I'm sitting in heaven. You know, the Bible said we sit in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to wait until the trump is sounded. We're sitting in I'm sitting in a heavenly place right now, just listening. Glory to God.
Mama.
Jesus, I bless him on the day. You know, when God, I was sitting here Apostle Moore, and I told him last week, early in the week, I don't know. I was sitting here after the broadcast, and your website popped up. Now, you know I haven't talked to you since last year.
Amen.
And I shared this with him. It wasn't nothing but God. And his website popped up. And when his website popped up, I said, here's Philip's website. I said, so I don't think nothing happens by happenstance. I believe everything is a divine purpose for whatever happens, especially when you're in ministry, especially when you're fasting and you're seeking God for something. And you know, when God allows things to pop up, you know he go before you and make the way for. Hey, I don't know what, you don't know how God is working.
Amen.
One thing about him, he don't take naps, he don't take vacations. Hallelujah. He don't slumber nor sleep. When I see your website, I said, now what? All right, I got to call Phil. And I began to look, and I said, I got to call Marcia and get Phil's number. And then I looked in my address book. I said, oh, here's a number right here. Hallelujah. Because I don't know if they had your cell number on your website. But when I began to call Phil and he began to talk, we began to conversate and what have you. And then he began to share some, hey, I don't know about some things with me. And then I had been seeking God for something. And I tell you, he just gave me an answer. Hallelujah. So we don't know what God is doing. And I tell you, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I've just been so full. I was on the phone this morning with, and then I'm going to open up the lines real quick. I was on the phone with my little new graphic artist, and I just have fell in love with this girl because she worked so diligently and so fervently. And you know, she told me she sent the flyer, and I've added Apostle Moore on the flyer. We're putting out speakers. We're doing some great things on this Blast Talk Radio. Y'all may not have caught it yet, but keep on looking. God is doing some great things. And Philip begins, Apostle, that's my brother in the Lord, so I can call him Philip. I'm not disrespecting him because he knows who he is. Amen. But she called me, and she begins, she sent me the email with Apostle Moore's picture on it. And then she said, now click the link in that email. This girl is a witch. She's an expert. So I clicked the link. And lo and behold, she done already started my website, and I just went to boo-hooing. Apostle Moore, I just went to crying when I seen that, because I didn't ask her to do that. Okay, I hadn't even did. I've been on my own and doing ministry for the past 2 years outside of a church home, on my own. And when that girl, when I opened up that thing and saw www.newdestinyministries.com, I was just like a baby. I just began to cry because I'm seeing the heavy work of God. I'm seeing,
my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, Sister Adrian, you know why that has to happen. Sister Adrian, go ahead and praise him. But there was a song that came on at the beginning of the broadcast, and it says that there's more that God is requiring of you. To whom much is given, much is required. And so you're going to have people like that around you. Thinking that's strange. You're going to have to for where God got to take you. See, when you're serious about ministry, you're serious about success, God got to. What made David a great king was he had great people around him. I can't have just any old body around because everybody don't want to see you succeed. And so you have to have folk around you who got your vision and the vision of God so that you can move forward. Nobody who's jealous and tripping and all that kind of stuff. This work is too serious to have some folks like that around you. And so she sounds like a blessing to have, you know, people who can pre-think and look before you, be an armor bearer, a real armor bearer, not just carry your little books and stuff, but pre-think for you and go before you and test out the land. And God will put people like that in your life to try to help expand the ministry when you're on the right page.
Oh, glory to God. And I'm just telling you, just bolting on because, you know we're standing on the promises of God. And not boasting and bragging, but, you know, when you have made sacrifices, and I got to preach on Circle of Love broadcast on tomorrow morning, and as I begin to just think, you know, I've been in ministry 29 years, and, you know, I just thank the Lord and have supported pastors in appreciation and Sunday school and have put facelift on other men's ministries, okay? And please don't get me wrong, I do not regret anything that I've labored in another man's vineyard and in another man's ministry. I don't regret any of it because guess what? Preparation plus opportunity equals destiny. So God was preparing me while I was building up their ministry. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. God was preparing me for the opportunities and the doors, not for me, because please know, I love God's people. I love me. The Lord ain't got to give me a job. I would do this for free every day, 24/7. God ain't got to reward me with none of these tangible things, but he said if my way is pleasing, he would give me the desires of my heart. He told me to seek him first. Seek me first. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. So I'm just saying, I told the girl, Philip, I said, now, girl, you're going to have so many people hating on me. Hallelujah. I said, you got me looking like a professor. And somebody said, oh, man, you're prettier than me.
Well, we need a Holy Ghost seal, Oprah Winfrey, out there, so that's all right.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and triumph.
You're prettier than Oprah Winfrey. I said, well, I just need to command some of them dollars she got. That's all. Command are not for me to be high and lifted up.
Speak
but
to
for
it,
God
Apostle.
To be glorified.
Hey, speak to it. You got to speak
Father,
to that thing.
God to be glorified.
You got to speak to it.
The kingdom work of the ministry.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Ma'am.
So I just bless the Lord for faithful. And I tell you, I'm going to give you all the information. And people say, oh, you're just looking at this girl and did so much. She done did more for me and helping me with this ministry than it's been done in the whole 14 months. In a matter of 2 weeks. Hallelujah.
Lord,
God could know. Divine connection. So I'm going to Ella Gates. I'm a stop because I'm full right now. I'll tell you, when you see God moving in your life, honey, you got to give him some glory. You got to give him some praise. Amen, amen. I'm going to Elder Norm. I'm going to Apostle Johnson first. And this young man, another young man, God is just sending young men on this line that's doing the work that's not selfish, that's willing, hallelujah, willing to obey, willing, hallelujah, to go wherever God set up. Thank you, Jesus. Apostle Johnson, God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Grace and peace to all. Certainly great man of God. Your words of encouragement were strengthening today to talk about how God builds you because some people don't understand apostolic move. They just jump into ministry because it's just something to do. And today you explained in the natural what a lot of people want to get to it, that they wanted to imitate or to be like somebody and not be what God has made. But you talked about the family and how the family is junction and how you have other people in family, but yet you stuck to your assignment. And I think that's important in the kingdom of God for people to know and understand to stick to your assignment and do what God has set forth for you to do within this hour and not try to walk and be as anybody else, but be as Christ. Well, to listen to the voice of him
and hear what he has assigned for us to do within this hour. You know, truly God is amazing and awesome. I didn't think I was going to be able to tune into the broadcast today, but I'll be out of the country in about another 10 minutes. I'll be entering into Canada and we'll be there for 4 or 5 days in the Lord and just enjoying ourselves and whatever God has for us. But truly, it was a blessing to be able to hear what you had to say on today, and to also understand that that you have to understand, Mother, that God is doing a tremendous thing for you. He's setting you up in so many ways that you don't, that He can't even show you right now, because you have a heart to care, and you share a lot of things with people, and there's some haters that just hate what God is doing and uncovering you within this season. But God said it won't stop or block anything that I've set forth for you. So, you know, just be excited about who God is putting around you. They don't even want to be in your business, but just want to pray for you as well as you praying for them. But you are awesome and great. And God's going to continue to strengthen you and launch you. And, man of God, I say to you that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I heard God just say to tell you that the best is yet to come, that He has some things that are set forth for your life, and He said that a promise is a promise. He said to remind you that a promise is a promise. I've told you some things, God Almighty. I've told you some things that I need you to hold fast to my promise. My God, today,
my Lord.
I see financial blessings getting ready to hit. I see some miracle and some things in place in your hand, man of God. I see God just releasing those things. But God said, I just remind him that I said a promise is a promise. I told him wealth shall follow him, and wealth shall follow those that are connected to him. A promise is a promise. God said, remind you to stick fast to my promise. Continue to stay with the plan that I told you to write down. I told you to write the vision and make it plain. So God said, continue to allow the vision to be made plain. Continue to allow me to come in and be the God that I am. Continue to come in and allow me to move boundably for you within this hour and in this season. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee, and I am the Lord God that strengthen thee. And this is the hour of promise for you, and this is the hour that I'll pour out on you, said God. So I just want you to understand that there is miracles ahead for your life. There is miracles and destiny for your life. And I even heard God when you were talking about your daughter and the prophetic gifts. God said, you wait and see when I launch her to the nation. It's going to be like never before. I'm going to have her to reach young women and older women. But the prophetic word will be so accurate that people will know and understand that she is a prophetess from God. He said she was a prophet from your wife's womb. And God said to let you know that continue to smear her under the anointing. Continue to cover her so no distractions will get in the way of the gifting that I placed there, said God. But God said, I've got some things that I'm doing. And God said that don't worry about anything, because I'm going to, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And he said, I'm about to give you some things. I'm about to have some that are old school, that are holding on to some wicked wealth to pour it unto you. See this barbershop, and I don't know what's going on in the barbershop, but I see somebody that comes in the barbershop that says, I want to give this man something. It's somebody that I see it being somebody that you know, and they kind of know that who you are in God, but they haven't yet said, but God said, I'm going to cause their heart to just pour unto you. And God said, I'm going to give you an open forum in that environment.
Lord, have mercy.
I just honor God for this time and this space on today. I thank him for, again, being a part of the broadcast on today, not thinking that I would be there because I was supposed to be in Canada by now, but yet God's timing is his timing and his reasoning for it. And while I do honor God, I ask that you would pray for us, pray that we will have safe travel, and that we will have safe travel back, and that God's anointing would be with us while we're out of the country, and that his will be done, and that we would set an example.
God bless you, Apostle Johnson. I appreciate that. I appreciate that word that God has given you. It was a confirmation word, man, and I want the people to know that what you're saying, you right on the button. You right on the button. I have never talked to you a day in my life, man, but I tell you this, you right on the button. And when it comes to fruition in its fullness, God got something for you. So I just want you to know. Thank you. I appreciate you being in God.
Amen. Bless you, sir.
Amen. Amen. We're going to Elder Gates and then to Minister Tate, and then we'll get our first-time listeners and those of you that's regular, you know our format. Amen. God bless you, Elder Gates.
God bless you. Excuse me. God bless you, evangelist, and to the apostle that ministered the word on today. I appreciate the word of God and the exposition of the word of God. Certainly, I love when people just know how to line the word out so that you know it is easy to interpret, easy to understand, easy to receive, easy to follow, easy to do. And I appreciate that because. You know, as much as I also appreciate the depth of the word, and you know how some people go off into the historical aspect and all of that. Sometimes just the simplicity of the word of God is just what you need, and is just enough. And I appreciate the way that he put it on the table just for you know people to understand you know in simplistic terms what the word of God is saying, and then. You know, something that he said really, really appealed to me because not only do I appreciate the exposition and the explanation of the Word of God, but I also appreciate the challenge from the Word of God because some things that he said, I mean, beyond, and his testimony was powerful. Now, I really bless God for that. Bless God for the work that God is doing in his life and in and around his city and his family. But there was something that he said. He repeated it a few times throughout throughout the word that he had given, and that thing was, and he did it in a couple of different ways, but it kind of led to the same idea, in that oftentimes what we do is we waste a whole lot of time talking about it and not being about it. We spend time, we talk about the Bible like it's just a historical book. We don't talk about it like it's life application, like it appeals and it's applicable to us now. We pretend like, you know, that was Paul and it was only for Paul. But if it was only for Paul, then why did he write it? Why did he send it to you? Because if he sent the letter to you, it was to you too. And so I thank God that you know, with the challenge from the Word of God, and I say this often to people, God doesn't speak just for the sake of speaking. He doesn't just talk just to hear himself talk. God is not enthralled by his voice because he knows what he sounds like. He knows the power of his voice and all of that. He doesn't talk just for the sake of talking. But whenever God speaks, he's trying to get something over, and he's trying to see who will hear what I'm saying. This is why Jesus oftentimes when he spoke, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And I wonder how many of us as the man of God was just laying the word of God out and challenging us thereby. I wonder how many of us were actually listening for the Spirit of God, not just for the explanation of the word, but for the challenge that came with it. Because you actually cannot walk by faith unless you understand what God wants. If you don't understand what God desires, then there is no faith, because that's what James said. He said, "You showing me your faith without works, but I'm going to show you my faith by my works." And when we listen to the Word of God, listen to what God is saying to you, listen to what God is saying to us individually and collectively as the church, and thank God that you have moved away. And you know, all of us have roots somewhere, and all of us have some traditional values somewhere, all of us, and they're not all bad, and thank God for them. But I bless God for you, man of God, that you are bold enough and courageous enough, however long it took, because it ain't easy to uproot. And you know, there was something else that he said that was really comforting, I'll say it that way, to me. There's something that I have told my children. you know, oftentimes, and I'm relating this to the testimony that he gave about his life and how God was calling him into ministry. Oftentimes, you know, our children, when they get a certain age, you know, they start, you know, getting a little restless and whining and crying, talking about how they can't stand it, they can't stand to be at home, and I can't wait to get up out of here. And I told them one time before, I said, you know, I said, if we really do this right, if we really are doing it right, although you should be ready to leave home, home ought to be the hardest place in the world that you have to leave. It ought to break your heart to leave home. It ought to do something to you to know that you're faced with the reality that now you got to spread your wings. And the way that God had to deal with him, and the manner in which he described how when he was leaving, how God had to really deal with him. Because let me be candid and frank and say, I'm a little scared of folk that are so willing and so ready to just jump out there and don't count the cost, don't consider the weight and the gravity of the ministry. I'm a little intimidated by them folk. I don't want to be around you too long because you kind of like Peter to me. You jump out the boat, you walk for a while, but then after a while you start sinking. But the way, you know, the way that he handled the call of God on his life, in that he backed up off of it for a moment and tested it and saw it and proved it and made sure. That's a powerful thing, and I encourage anybody that's listening on the line that is a member of his church, I encourage you to get busy in your area and tell people about this man of God, because I am certain and I am sure, and I don't know him, I don't know anything about him, first time I even heard his name, but I'm certain just by what I've heard, you know, the Bible says no man after the flesh but after the spirit. I am certain that just by the word that I've heard today, I would encourage all of you to get busy out in the streets and go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come to hear what this man of God has to say. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Apostle. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. You remind me of a pastor here in the Lansing, Michigan area, Bishop Maxwell. You articulate so well. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to use those words that can grab those that are from the intelligentian area in ministry. And so we appreciate you being able to even appreciate the gospel in any type of terms, in any kind of form. That's a wise person. I appreciate also Sister Adrian, these mighty men of God that you have connected us with, because, you know, it's time, you know, not necessarily to start a revolution, but if that's what it takes for us to move forward in God and to do his will on a whole nother level. I mean, we sing in the songs that there's more that God is requiring of us, but we have to step up to what we're really saying, because if not, we just, you know, we become dizzy and fuzzy and we just become a tingling cymbal, you know. And so it's good to have some other men of God out there that is going forth in ministry. And we praise God for these young men that I've heard from today. Amen. Is there another listener?
Evangelist Adrian, is she still online?
Evangelist Adrian? Maybe she's not. Who am I talking to? Who is this?
I'm Minister Patricia Spates.
God bless you. How are you?
I'm fine, man of God. I came in a little late. I'm Faithful's mother. I don't want to go ahead of her, but...
Mother?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, that's fine. I had you open. I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute, but I just wanted to say, Elder Gates, I asked him, Philip, was he kidding the Bishop Lambert Gates, because he's so anointed. And he said, I don't think so, but he is anointed, and he will be speaking for us on tomorrow. So those of you that haven't heard him, when I first heard him, Philip, I thought he was like maybe in his 60s or something because he sounds so old. You know, and I was like, how old are you? And he told me he was mid-30s. I said, what? Lord, after so he is just a wonderful young man. I tell you, just on fire for the Lord. So we go on to Minister States. Go ahead, Mother.
Well, praise God. God bless you all, and God bless you, Adrian. I came in a little late. I didn't want to miss it. And what I came in on, it really blessed me. I saw that he understood the hour that we're in regarding the church. I just want to put this out there. I believe that we are the seven churches, and there were different spirits in each of those churches being manifested. And we can see that as he was speaking, you know, and I'm a strong believer, and it blessed me to hear that I have done things right all down through the years, and I've never had to get in a deliverance line, hallelujah, to cast no demon out of me. I went to the Word and got washed in the water of the Word, fasted and cleansed, hallelujah, that whatever came into my life, and I still do that to this very day, yet I've not arrived, but I know how to seek the Lord for myself. Hallelujah, and I'm sensitive to the atmospheres, hallelujah, and shiftings and changes in my own life, amen. And so that word was so accurate today regarding the locating of the church and the condition of the church. And I can't add no more to that. It's just that we need to have ears, as Elder Gates said, you know, we need to have ears to hear what this man of God is saying, because the wisdom first coming from above is easily to entreat, is pure and is easy to entreat. It was so easy to receive his revelations. He wasn't screaming, he wasn't hollering, but that's his anointing, amen. Hallelujah, to get the people to hear that there's a shifting in your life and there's power. You know, that there's power. You know, the power, as you said, we have the power of God to live our lives. And I'm a scribe, so immediately when he began to talk, you know, and he talked about death and in dealing with his title of his ministry, deliverance, I begin to write down, you know, with my prayer, with the prayer mountain, and I put power manifesting intercession. I begin to put something to the words of my ministry, Prayer Mountain International Ministry, you know. And but I'm blessed by your word, man of God, and he that have ears to hear, please apply this to your life. You have the power to overcome. You don't have to have God. You're crying out for God, as he said, to deliver you, glory to God. And you have to speak to your own life. You have to speak over your own body. I live this thing every day, glory to God, to rise up every day of my life. I'm a doer of that word. Have to be. I have to go to God just like you have to go to God. Hallelujah. But he's given us that power. He's given us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in us. That we can decree and declare. You can even lay hands on yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Anoint yourself. Pray over yourself. Do what needs to be done to be delivered from the work of your flesh that is contrary to the work of God. You know, so many things he had said that it's been so right on tune and right in time with the Spirit of God is saying to our lives, as well as to, you know, in other words, it's time to set our lives in order. You know, and do those things that are pleasing to the Father. Glory to God. And there's one scripture he said that, you know, how people don't know the move of God. And he said, you'll be put out the synagogues. And he asked him why. He said, because they don't know God. And of a truth, we do not really know the presence of God. And that's what I do, is obeying God and reintroducing my spirit to my people, he said to me. That's my mantle, is reintroducing my spirit to my people again. So that's what we do on Prayer Mountain. Thank you, man of God, for those choice words. And so like, as Elder Gates said, you know, he's such a great spokesman, speaking, you know, simplicity of the word that easily you can entreat in your own life. And I've been embraced. I got a whole lot of notes in the short time I've been on that you have spoken. To God be the glory. I honor you, sir.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Apostle Moore, this is our minister, prophetess, mother, Patricia Stacey, and she's the mother to my graphic artist. That's her oldest daughter, and I tell you, we only met them about a month ago, and they are just powerful. Mother Stacey through an online church on Sundays, and she's on the line. She's been doing conference calls before we even knew of one. 25, 30 years ago, we didn't even know a free conference line existed. So she's a powerful woman of God, and Mother's another one. You know, she's 6 months older than I, and I thought Mother was much older because she speaks with such authority and such power and such she sings us. And I said, Lord, I thought Mother was about in my late 70s. So I tell you, that let me know when you have spent some quality time with the Lord, God will cause you to be seasoned. So we just love her and the work that she's doing. Now we're going, I don't know if your wife is on the line today, Apostle Morris. First Lady Josephine on the line?
Not that I know of. Matter of fact, I didn't get a chance to see my wife much at all today. We've been running. A lot is going on. My kids are on homecoming court, so she's probably trying to get them together now. So I don't think she's online at this point.
All right. Well, I see about 6 or 7, 5, 1, 7 areas, and I'm highly upset that they have overpowered my line today. I said, where are all the folks that I sent out a mass text saying that Apostle Mark was going to be, we had about 21 callers on the line, so it's all right, but I like to see more of my numbers. But God bless you all in the 517 area code. I'm going to Sister Marcia Moore Billings. This is one of Apostle Moore's sisters and a biological sisters, and this is one of my best friends, and I tell you, she's on the line with us today. So God bless you, Mrs. Moore. Billy?
Praise the Lord. I give honor to God first, who is the head of my life, and my husband. In his absence, he's at work. And to my brother, Apostle Moore, I didn't hear everything, but I heard enough. And, you know, the thing I love about the Lord, it's not about a title, but it's about the anointing. And I love it. I love it when my heart is touched. Because that's what makes me think in my quietness of my own day, when I'm alone, when I left the church walls and I began to look at my life and evaluate adjustments that we need to make. And I just, you know, I just praise God because I'm reminded of a praying mother. My late mother, who is in rest in the presence of the Lord, Evangelist Mother Pearly Moore, she laid a powerful foundation. Jesus is our perfect example. We know that. But I do praise God for my mother that raised us and showed us the way and embedded and deposited spiritual gifts and good things into our life. And I was talking, you mentioned about my sister-in-law, First Lady Josephine. She called me this evening, and she was telling me that she was doing a lot of running around for her children and stuff. And I began to share with her some of what God was dealing with me on and dealing with family. You know, I love it. I just really marvel at the things that I heard today. And I love simplicity. I very much love simplicity. I was just talking about the simplicity of the word, but yet the anointing. You don't have to speak with words so elegant, but when that anointing comes, and when Prophet Moore was speaking, I really got something out of what he was saying. And we have to evaluate where we are individually and do what. And I was also touched when he was telling the story about how God dealt with him. I do remember when the Lord was dealing with him on his departure. And the other prophet that said something about when it's time to leave a place, it's not an easy thing always, a comfortable process to happen. And I'll be honest, I didn't want him to leave because he was very involved in our church. He was thriving and things were good as far as I was concerned. But when God has a call on your life, and I remember him coming to my mother's house and telling me that God was dealing with him on the move. And I said this, because I'm of this opinion, it does not matter to me who you are, but if you tell me these words, God told you to do something. Sister Adrian, Pastor Moore, I'm done with it. I'm not going to stand in judgment one way or the other, because at the end of the day, I don't have to answer for that. You do. He does. She does. I will. If you tell me God told you to do something, I said to him these words, and I will never forget it as long as I've got good sense and good memory in my brain, I will never forget it. I said to him, I said, Phil, you just got to make sure that it was God that called you. I said, if it was God, it will flourish. I said, the ministry will flourish. I said, if it not, it will come to naught. And I'm not here to toot his horn. I'm not here to criticize him. I'm just simply saying that God is doing a beautiful work over at New Life International Ministries. The times that I've been in the presence and I've been there, I have felt the anointing, and I see what God is doing. So to my brother, I encourage you, keep up the good work. Be led by the Spirit. The Bible says, try the Spirit by the Spirit to see whether it be the Spirit of God. And I really wasn't planning on saying nothing, but I do want to give honor where honor is due. And you know what? If it's coming from my brother and God has a word for me, or if it's coming from my friend, Sister Adrian, whom I dearly love, really is like a sister to me, I want to receive. I want to be able to digest it. I want it to marinate. I want whatever God has for me. So I salute you all both. I enjoyed what I heard, Pastor Moore. I've enjoyed the word of the other prophets that have been on the line that spoke a positive word. And you know what? The anointing, it doesn't matter, but that's what I'm talking about. Anointing breaks yokes. And when somebody is speaking under the anointing, you can feel, if you got the genuine Holy Ghost, you can feel a move. And I can tell you, even as Adrian was saying, and I so relate, she said that his website popped up. And I am also of the same mind. I don't think things happen just by coincidence no more. I used to think, oh, that's a coincidence that such and such and such, not anymore. There are no coincidences. It's a plan of God. So be encouraged, be motivated. I'm stirred up, and I praise God that I heard what I heard. And you all, I thank you for this time, but I'm done.
I bless you. Thank you, Sister Martha. Happy birthday. Shout out to you all over the country.
No, it's late, you all. My birthday is January 20th. He still got a lot of making up and gifting to do for that. But go ahead, Pastor.
Adrian.
Martha. Amen. Let me go to some of the other area codes in the 517 zip. 517 area. Area code 517. The last four of the numbers, 0833. Can you greet us?
I sure can. Hello?
Amen. Tell us who you are.
Hello?
Yes, amen. Your line is open. 0833 517 area code.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I on?
Yes, ma'am. Who am I speaking with?
Well, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name. My Apostle Philip R. Moore is here with you today. I am a member of New Life International Church, and I praise God because I've been listening since 4 o'clock. I was at work listening. Now I'm at Meijer's doing my grocery shopping, and I'm still listening because the word is so good, and I'm so excited. My name is Minister Robin Moore, and I thank the Lord because I am under Apostle Philip R. Moore. I've been there for going on 8 years almost, and my Lord, God has moved, and he is moving in my life, and I give honor to my Father. I give honor to God. I give honor to Apostle Moore, and I just honor the First Lady Moore, but I just want to say praise the Lord. I didn't know I was on the line because I'm sitting there walking down the aisle, but I said, I can't hang up because the word is so good, and I love the word, and I love the Lord, and I just, I'm so happy for the church. Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Minister Robin. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I just want to say praise the Lord, and I'm just excited to be up underneath the ministry. I say often I'm up underneath the umbrella, and I'm so glad that the Lord chose me to be in the presence of Him and under the ministry. So God bless you. Wonderful word today. You know I'm still eating from last night and Sunday, but I'm eating even the more. But I'm just happy. In my spirit, there's joy. There's joy.
Amen. Well, thank you, Minister Robin. We're so glad that you were able to listen with us for a while, for the whole time, and we praise God for you. Oh, this is a fiery minister in my ministry, Minister Adrian. She's a young minister, but she's very powerful, very powerful. So we're glad to have you, Minister Robin. Thank you.
All right. Well, God bless you, and I'll talk to you later, okay? And praise the Lord to you, Evangelist Adrian. I thank the Lord for you allowing Apostle to have this opportunity. So thank you, and I look forward to logging in more to hear more out of the ministry.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you tuning in today, and we just thank God for all those that live in the 517 area code. We have, I think, three more in that area code, and your lines are open. Each one can tell us who you are. Okay. 517 area code. The last four of your numbers, 0120.
Oh, no, that's me again.
That's you again. Okay, 0833. Can you tell us who you are?
Praise the Lord. Sister Katrina, I'm the Secretary of New Life International Church. I've been listening in as well. I enjoy the word, Apostle. The word has been very, very good. I enjoyed everyone who spoke in and on what the Lord is doing in Apostle Philip Moore's life. I've just been enjoying the sermon as well. I didn't plan on speaking. I didn't know that I would, but I just thank the Lord for what he's doing and thank him for the opportunity to give thanks where thanks is due. Elder Gates, thank you for speaking on what the Lord has told you. We received that message. Sister Adrian, Apostle Adrian, I do receive the message that you gave as well. Thank you all for speaking. Apostle, I didn't know the whole testimony about how you left your last organization, but I was very touched and moved by how the Lord guided you through that situation, and I just thank the Lord for allowing me to be a part of New Life International Church and what he's doing in our lives as well. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I just wanted to speak in this area. I thank the Lord for what he's doing. I thank the Lord for you, Apostle Moore, and everyone else who is on the line. And I give the Lord all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Katrina. That's my secretary. Amen. My number one secretary.
Okay, get you. I'm going to call your secretary. God bless you. We have one more call on the line, and then we're going to go back to Apostle Moore for his final remarks and close on out. We have one more in that area code. Can you greet us and tell us who you are? I think the last four is the 4911. Okay, well, we're going to just give you a few announcements, and then we're going back to our speaker for the hour. Elder Gates will be speaking on tomorrow, so tune in early. We don't plan to be on all day, so tune in early. I know God has given him a word. We will be in chapter 14. In the book of Acts, we're walking through Acts. Now, Monday, after Julius Balls of Louisville, Kentucky, will be ministering on Monday. And Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, we're taking a little break from the book of Acts. And we will have with us Pastor Ed Hamilton of Provoke to Purpose Ministry. He will be doing a two-day series for this broadcast, and the subject is Regain Your Birthright. And he will be talking about excellence, commitment, and accountability. How many know that we need to have the spirit of excellence on our life? We need to be committed, amen, and we certainly, certainly need to be held accountable. So this is going to be a two-day series. If you're on Facebook and you're a friend of mine, if you're not a friend, I encourage you to send a friend request and be my friend, and you will see all the wonderful things that God is doing with this ministry. Amen? So we look forward to you tuning in with us tomorrow and also on next week. And these are young men that have ministries that they are making full proof of their ministry by teaching and preaching God's word, and also by loving the people. You know, it's one thing to say God called you to a ministry, but if you don't have no love, if you don't have no love, you won't have no folks following you, because Jesus said, with love have I drawn you. Hallelujah. So we have to have love one for one another, one for the other, and we also have to have a great compassion for the people. Amen. So we just so happy that Apostle Moore took out of his busy schedule and shared with us today, and also the beautiful interview that he gave and shed a little light on how God will exalt him. He didn't exalt himself. He didn't elevate himself. He heard the voice of God. And I put on Facebook sometimes, destiny is calling. Will you answer? Destiny was calling Philip Moore. He was Elder Philip Moore at that time. And he's been elevated not because of the title, but because, and people need to know that, Apostle Moore, that it's not about the title, it's about the work that you're doing. Because you can call him Elder Moore, and he wouldn't be offended. Hallelujah, because he loved the Lord, and he knows who he is. Amen. So, again, it's not about titles. It's about the work. But before I bring him on, I just want Minister Faith to share with you all and give you her information about her ministry. Amen. Minister Faith.
Well, to God be the glory. It's his ministry that I truly give God the glory. I believe that he has sent me for such a time as this of mobilizing a praying people called Destiny Protectors, a prayer army called Destiny Protectors, and the ministry is Prayer Mountain International Ministries, and we're mobilizing, and God has said to me every city, and as I get online, I see people calling from every city where we're mobilizing, training, and equipping them through the revelation knowledge of who Jesus is to be more effective in prayer by living a holy life and a righteous life before God. Hallelujah. I tell them all the time, you cannot pray. When you stand praying, forgive. You must ask for forgiveness and cleansing and understanding the revelation of the word. But on Monday nights, we have, glory to God, hallelujah, we call it family restoration. These are the nights the Holy Spirit set up. And it's 6 p.m. Pacific time, California time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we decree and declare, we pray for restoration of our families over the churches and everything in the land. Tuesday night is the Art of Intercessory Prayer with the Holy Spirit, where we're really learning the art of intercession, but reintroducing the Spirit of God, true Spirit of God.
Mother.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
We have about...
And you can go online and find the information. Paramount Patricia, Minister Patricia Spates, you can befriend me, and you'll find all that information on the wall. Also on Adrian's wall, you can find it as well. Amen. God bless.
Amen. We're going to go back to Apostle Moore, and I want him to give out his information and where he's located and how you can view his website. Thank you again, Apostle Moore, for being with us on today, and don't let this be your last time. You have an open invitation. God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Adrian. We can be found at newlifeinternationalchurch.net. And if you look up Okemos, that will get you close to us on the web. Also, if you want to see some of our videos, we're going to be putting them online. We're doing a big thing online, so we will be also getting on YouTube. We got some other things that are in place. I have my camera and production people putting things together right now, so you may not see much right now, but within the next month, you'll see a lot. We want to take time out just to thank Sister Adrian again because the work that she's doing. We praise God for the listeners that was here today. We do appreciate your comments. Amen. And we thank you for the things that God has been speaking into your life. Amen. Concerning my life, I appreciate you all, Apostle, and also pastors. We thank you for that. I just want to share this last thing with you as we get ready to leave the line. Don't forget, God has given us the power. He don't give us power for nothing. He gives us power for something. He don't give us power for nothing. He gives us power for something. I'm reminded of the scripture. He gave some one talent, some two talents, some five talents. When he came back, he was upset with the one who did not do anything with his talent. God expects you to do something with what he has given you. So God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We was made in his image and in his likeness, and then he had given us power, amen, in the book of Acts. So we have to move and go forth. God bless you. Until next time, we have the power. Thank you so much, Sister Adrian. God bless you again. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We thank you all. Tune in tomorrow. We really have Elder Gates ministering tomorrow. Tune in early. Tomorrow is Friday. You know Fridays, people, you know, they were living for the weekend anyhow. So come on early where we can hear the word and then you go on and do what you have to do. Again, I thank God for my girlfriend, Apostle Moore's sister, and my sister that I love dearly in the Lord, Sister Marcia Billings. We thank God for her tuning in today and just all of the men and women of God that have graced this line. Continue to pray for my daughter and the Lord, Faithful, and just pray for God's guidance and direction in her life. And those of you all that need, Apostle Moore began to talk about branding your ministry. If you need your ministry branded, I tell you, you need to contact her. Amen. So give me a call or go on the Facebook or on the web. Now you can go and visit our website, www.newdestinyministries.com, and we just bless the Lord for you. Amen. We're going to close with this song, Let the Church Say Amen. God bless you all.
I want to introduce to you right now a close friend and brother. To me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Wyman. Be blessed.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church, help is on the way.
Amen.
My God has spoken. I heard.
Amen. I miss you. Have a Jesus day.